right now, this moment. You're sitting under the preaching of an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. You're a member of a Baptist church. You got the King James on your head. Woo! Glory to God. You have escaped. Wow. What a privilege God has given you and me. You're not in false doctrine tonight. You're not a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. How did we ever escape all the goofy isms out there?
And now, great sermons from fundamentalism.
Job 1, I read, you listen, and I start the reading in verse number 13. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. This is Job now, talking about his family. He has 10 children. Verse 14, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, but charged God foolishly.
This is Jack Scop preaching a sermon on Job chapter 1. The title of the sermon is, I Only Am Escaped to Tell Thee. Scop summarizes Job's losses in chapters 1 and 2. It surprises me that he declares that one of Job's diseases was elephantiasis. Well, maybe. That's not in the text. The text says he was covered with sores, and that's bad enough. Scop goes into great detail about the pus and swelling Job endured in his illness when God took away his health. Scop adds more minor, non-biblical details, like the servants who escaped did so by hiding under dead bodies. That also is not in the text. And then, very oddly, Jack Scop retells the entire story as a dramatic monologue, and not a very good dramatic monologue, by the way. Then Scop gets into the now familiar rolling rhythm of a fundamentalist-style chant, a repetitive patter built on vocal cadence and designed to raise emotion in the crowd. Actually, every preacher I have covered so far in this series does this, but Scop uses it so extensively that I'm going to give you a clip to give you an example of this type of patter that is used to draw emotion.
I marvel again and again, again and again, why I am an old-fashioned, sin-hating, devil-fighting Baptist preacher. Why am I a fundamentalist? Why do I have the right Bible? Why am I not a Catholic tonight? Why am I not a Jesuit priest tonight? Why am I not a Lutheran tonight? Why am I not a Hare Krishna tonight? Why was I not born in the dark recesses of Papua New Guinea and was a cannibal-eating person? Why was I born in America? Why was I given the parents I had? Why was I introduced to the truth at a young age? Why was I given a King James Bible and I was not even old enough to read it? Why was I brought up in a Baptist Sunday school church? Why was I brought up at the feet of old-fashioned, sin-hating, devil-fighting, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, barn-storming, hell-bent, for let that Baptist preacher, I don't know, but thank God I was!
This patter goes on. It's longer than usual. The gist is, why have I landed in the halls of what is right? And why have you landed in the halls of what is right when other people have not landed in such good circumstances? Scop's entire outlook here is very problematic, theologically, but I'm not going to get into that. And this is not where the servants were. They were working for Job at their tasks, both the servants who were killed and those who escaped. everybody among the servants was doing the exact same stuff. So it wasn't that some were good and some were bad, some were Baptist and some were Presbyterian. They were all made of the same stuff, essentially. Now, Scop says at 18 minutes into the sermon that he is going to tell four stories about times when he nearly died. Okay, so something tells me we have kissed the Bible text goodbye. He declares that these are not made-up stories or taken from a book, but true stories. This appears to be his justification for telling them in a sermon instead of preaching the text. Remember, if we live obedient to the Bible, our teachings must be based on the Bible as our sole authority. That means the man who preaches opens the text, and not just manually. He preaches the text for what the text says. The Bible has a single great theme, God's redemption of mankind through Jesus Christ. Each book of the Bible supports that great single theme in some way. That is, each book has its own single theme that contributes to the main theme. Each passage of each book contributes to the main theme of that particular book. To preach the Bible, the preacher must show how each passage supports the theme of its book and how that theme supports the central meaning of the Bible. The preacher must be in subjection to the Bible. He must not subject the Bible to what he wants to say. Here are Scop's four stories given in summary. One, when he was a very little boy walking with his sister, an old man in a car tried to give him candy from the door of a car. His sister kept pulling him back, especially as they saw that the old man had a knife. They got away. Two, he had a horse that was afraid of trucks. He led the horse down a narrow path along a road. A truck came and spooked the horse, and the horse went insane and dragged Jack by the lead rope and down the highway until the rope slipped off, but the truck passed over him before the truck driver could stop. Three, he was water skiing with his brother and a friend named Tim at Cedar Lake. Somehow he almost strangled himself with a rope tied to the boat when his brother accelerated the boat. The guide rope handle ripped his ear off, too. Four, when he was a senior in high school, he got a pilot's license. He got confused while flying and disoriented, entered a fog bank, and he almost crashed the plane into the ground. These four stories in a 60-minute sermon took 20 minutes. Scop links his close calls with the four servants of Job who escaped. He says that he is talking to people who are not in jail, not in a juvenile home, not on drugs. He's talking to people who have escaped. There's error here. All of Job's servants were working faithfully. Who lived and who died were passed into Satan's hand as part of God's decree that Satan could assault Job. From the text, it would appear that taking Job's possessions included taking his servants and even his children. God did not spare any one servant because that servant was doing right and the others were doing wrong. They were all working for their master, but God ordained that Satan could end their lives as part of God's plan to accomplish his own purposes in Job's life and for the benefit of all believers who would come after and read of these things. Scop tells a story about a man who in high school had ruined his life up to that point and put a gun in his mouth to kill himself but couldn't do it. Then his mother came and got him and took him to a preaching service where Jack Scop was preaching, and the boy got right with God. He thanks Scop for telling him that God had a special purpose for his life. Scop concludes that the young man had escaped. He tells the kids that they have escaped sin so far. They've escaped drunkenness, false religion, pregnancy, etc. They've escaped the abominations of the world. This is not what the text is saying. It's also not true in terms of his listeners. You might escape some of the more dramatic catastrophes of sin, but nobody escapes being a sinner. And nobody escapes sin's ultimate catastrophe. We think like sinners, we react like sinners, we do not love God because we are sinners, we feel anger, fear, lust, etc. because we are sinners. The men who survived did not survive because they chose something the others did not choose. The fact that one servant from each band was spared to tell Job was an act of the grace of God when it was his will that all the others die. There is more to say about this sermon, but I'll have to postpone the rest to a later time.